Okay, thank you so much. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament, and you can find it on page number 752 in your pew Bibles. I am actually going to be reading passages from chapters 1 and 2 of Nehemiah throughout the message. The scripture will be embedded in my sermon this morning. We are looking at the example of the Jews coming back from exile and being led by Nehemiah to rebuild. This morning's message will be kind of a Thanksgiving blend, a blend of two themes, recognizing God's blessing on our lives on the one hand, taking special time this week to reflect and to give thanks for God's providence, extra time taken to count our many blessings, naming them one by one, recognizing God's blessings and responding to those blessings by blessing the Lord and blessing others. True thanksgiving essentially, necessarily includes our truly thankful giving. And so blending stewardship and thanksgiving themes this morning as we come to the climactic conclusion of this year's stewardship campaign with our gifts, with our commitments, this Sunday is our annual recognition that the Lord is the King of all areas of our lives, that God is the Lord and Master of all things that we are and all that we have. We are simply stewards, blessed to be a blessing. And this is such a great week and a great time of year to take stock of those blessings and to think about the time, talent, and treasures that God has magnificently poured out in our lives that we might in turn bless others and bless Him. Our response this morning shows what we really believe about Christ as Lord of our lives. It's our annual gut check. Who and what really is important, and what is the most important thing in our lives? The bottom line this morning is, to whom do we really owe our thanks? Do we owe ourselves the praise and gratitude, or do we owe it ultimately to the Lord, for He is the source who has given us all things? Lessons from Nehemiah include both of these themes. Nehemiah who? What's this all about? Let's think for a minute about who Nehemiah was and what does this book mean to us today? What does his life and witness mean to us today in the 21st century? Nehemiah was an Old Testament believer, one of the exiles in Babylon. You remember in 586 BC, the Jews were taken captive as part of God's judgment on their idolatry and sin. God's wrath was poured out first on the northern kingdom in 722. They fell to Assyria, the ten tribes of the northern kingdom. And then in 586 BC, Judah and Benjamin, the southern area, Jerusalem being the capital, fell to the Babylonians. The Babylonians were taken over by the Medes and then the Persians. Ultimately, after this, then Alexander the Great and the Greeks became the ruling world power. And then, of course, the Romans swept over this whole region. Israel, the tiny nation of Israel, was kind of washed over by all these global world powers, one after the other. And in this case, now in exile, after 70 years, waves of returning exiles came back to Judea, came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city. And yet, after a generation or so, the wall of the city was still not repaired. So important for these early cities to have the defenses of a city wall to protect them. They were vulnerable still, yet, and the devastation in Jerusalem was shown. Nehemiah was the cupbearer for this Persian king, Artaxerxes. I call him King Artie for short. But anyhow, he had the respect and the confidence of Artaxerxes' secret service, so to speak. He was responsible to bring the king his cup and his wine and make sure that it wasn't poisoned. The previous king, Artaxerxes' father, had been killed in his courts by some usurper. And so important the job. Now, Nehemiah was used by God to return and get the people of God to rebuild Jerusalem and also the temple. So this morning we want to think about how Nehemiah experienced a great burden, and secondly, how Nehemiah explored God's blessings as we relate to our themes today. You have a bulletin insert with some fill in the blanks to continue to follow along as we go along. We think about truly thankful giving on this November morning. Nehemiah experienced a great burden. He experienced a great burden on his heart. A report came back, brought back by his brother. We read about how his brother came back and gave a report of what was going on, Hananiah. And in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, well, let me pick up in verse 2, the report from back home in Jerusalem brought to Susa, where he was living, this capital city of the Persian Empire now. Hananiah, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province of Judah are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, Nehemiah said, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You know, I can't help but think, as Hector was talking with the kids about devastation out in California, whether it's Northern or Southern California from the fires and recent news reports, the wildfires north of Sacramento and down in Malibu, in paradise of all places, paradise is lost. The town, the city of paradise, due to the campfire named from Camp Creek Road, campfire, has overtaken and completely burned out the whole town with 30,000 residents. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this devastation? The latest report that I got online this morning was that over 149,000 acres in the campfire wildfire, and then almost 100,000 down south in Malibu have been completely devastated, with the death toll moving towards 80, and that's just in the north, and 1,300 people yet unaccounted for. Unbelievable picture of devastation and grief. Can you imagine those who had lived there and now are homeless? The destitution and devastation that they feel. So it was with Nehemiah, as even generations after the devastation of Jerusalem, the city is yet unbuilt. And in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, we read that in the month of Nisan, the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, around March of 445 BC, when wine was brought to the king, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in the king's presence before. So he asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. We experience sadness of heart when we experience grief and loss. Nehemiah said that he was afraid, but he said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried is in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The report had come back, and Nehemiah's response back in exile, from exile, he responded with a burden for his own sin and the sin of his people, confessing his sin and sins to the Lord in the prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear and see the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants and your people Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave to your servant Moses. The burden began with a conviction of sin for Nehemiah that he bore for his whole people and for himself. And in their trouble and disgrace, Nehemiah felt this burden deeply within his heart, so much so that he was motivated to move in response, to return to help. Nehemiah's commitment to return to help, he left a comfortable position there in the courts of the king, propelled out of this burden for lost people, his people, back in Jerusalem. Is this not like Jesus himself, who left the courts of heaven to come in incarnation? We're approaching Christmas, and we think of when Jesus came to be born of lowly birth and condescend, propelled out of his own love for the lost people. Remember how Jesus wept over Jerusalem almost 500 years later as he saw a people still lost, still living in unfaithfulness. How about us today? Are we burdened for the lost? Are we still feeling the grief of those as we look around and see those devastated by sin in their lives without Christ? Are we saddened as we look around by human affliction and suffering? Are we moved with the heart of God, with the heart of compassion? Do we weep over the hopeless and helpless around us so that we are motivated to serve, to go, and to give sacrificially? Nehemiah experienced a great burden. Do we today? There's the first question. Secondly, Nehemiah explored God's great blessings. Nehemiah explored God's blessings with a response of fear and faithfulness. Fear and faithfulness combined. Notice in chapter 2, verse 2 of Nehemiah, he says, I was very much afraid. Nehemiah, not knowing how the king would respond, but by faith, stronger than his fears, he looks to God to supply for all of his needs. Nehemiah requested a leave of absence, first of all, from the king. A leave of absence in chapter 2. We read then, Nehemiah prayed to God, to the God of heaven, and asked the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my fathers are buried so I can rebuild it. Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you get back? It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. Can you imagine Nehemiah's fear approaching this king, world power, superpower over all the world? He's out on a limb, sticking his neck way out. Kind of feels like a Thanksgiving turkey this week on the chopping block. Think about it. There are times that we have to stick our neck out, move out of our comfort zone in faithfulness and adding to his requests. Nehemiah asked the king to ensure safe travel between Susa and Jerusalem, difficult and unruly country at that time. In verse 7 of chapter 2, we read, I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. Don't you love the way Nehemiah is adding his confidence growing, adding to the first response, producing the first positive answer, reproducing courage, asking for a little more, perhaps feeling, well, I'm kind of on a roll here. Like teens, can I go to the movies, Mom? Can I take the car? Can you buy me a car? You know, it keeps moving and growing. And so Nehemiah requests also a voucher from the royal lumberyard. Verse 8 in chapter 2, and may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel of Jerusalem by the temple, for the city wall and for the residence that I will occupy. Notice here in this Old Testament passage, God and the king give even more than Nehemiah asks for. Nehemiah audaciously asks for things of the king, and God, through the king, multiplies blessings, magnanimous grace, extravagant generosity poured out then for the people of Israel. In fact, we read that King Artie even sent a military attachment, an envoy, to escort Nehemiah, as we read in verse 9, because of the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my requests. So I went to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. Wow. Notice God's waves of blessing in this Old Testament saint's life. What does this have to do with us today? Thanksgiving and thankful giving 2018. Think about it. We are blessed by waves of blessing that we might be a blessing to others. Nehemiah was, and we are. We have so much and so many blessings, exceeding abundant blessings from God. Plus, there's so much to be done for Christ's kingdom today. So much to do in building his kingdom today. Work requiring faith like it did in Nehemiah's time. Work requiring faithful service, requiring diligence as it did for Nehemiah and the Jews. Ministry requiring us to step up and step forward. Perhaps out of our comfort zone when we're asked to give. Boy, I don't know. It's a little uncomfortable. But as always, God's grace is sufficient for every need. Time and time in the scriptures, we hear stories of God providing where there is great need and devastation. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we have the promise God can do exceeding abundantly beyond everything that we could ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That promise is for you today as you give, as you serve. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That verse became the theme verse of a church I served in Collingswood, which burnt down about a century ago. This magnificent church in Collingswood, First Church Collingswood, had a fire that burned down not only the sanctuary, but the whole church building, and they rebuilt, given the grace and faithfulness of God. They took this verse to heart. My God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. We can too. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, another promise. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured out in your lap. With the measure with which you use will be measured to you. There's a great hymn, a gospel hymn. I'm going to read the two verses of this gospel hymn for you that reinforce these verses. He giveth more grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, as the Bible says. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. But out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, feel like that sometimes? Snow, really, in November? When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our God's, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Nehemiah came with a challenge to the remnant, to those survivors from the exile in Babylon. And he said to them, you see the trouble wherein Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. And I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let's start building. So they began the good work. Here is the response of God's people to the blessings of God with thankful hearts and generous hearts through their service and through their gifts. They responded in doing the good work. This Thanksgiving, give thanks. Look around and discover God's multiplied supply of blessings. Seek and you will find that God has already provided. Do a daily God hunt. Look for God at work in your daily details of life. Develop an attitude of gratitude, looking and watching for what he's doing. Look around and watch for God to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Look forward to seeing God's provide for many of your wants as well as needs. This Thanksgiving, let us thankfully give as we respond to the needs of others around us. Thanksgiving baskets and Lexington House, Greenbrier, so many opportunities to give and to share and to serve and to bless the Lord and bless others. Respond to God's grace with truly graceful giving. Commit in faith. As it says in Malachi, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so many blessings that you will not have room enough for it. We're all in this together. We come together to work together. We need one another to get this work done, just like the Jews in Nehemiah's time, standing shoulder to shoulder, everyone pitching in to take part, to build God's kingdom. And next year, we'll look to see even more blessings to thank God for, with even more people to join in our thanksgiving. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your multiplied, magnified blessings and grace in our lives. Help us to respond with gratitude and with faithfulness in service with our time, talents, and treasures, these gifts that we bring, these commitments that we make, Lord, out of a spontaneous response of grateful hearts. Help us to build your kingdom together as we work together to bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.